Well, friends, it's good to be back. I'm going to ask you to have to excuse me because I'm not having too good a throat. So my thanks to the sound crew for doing their best to equalize what sounds to me like two pieces of metal rubbing together. Now, the focus of the sermon today is really from this sentence, which is in bold and highlighted font. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So the topic this evening is birthing new churches. Now, it sounds very strange to get a man to be talking about giving birth. But we think of giving birth as a very natural phenomenon. It's something that we celebrate. Our churches do that too. When churches talk about giving birth, they talk about planting new churches. I want to run through what we will be doing today, so you know I'm not sneaking up on you. Now, first, I'm going to deal with the question of why bother? Why bother planting new churches, right? And then I'll deal with the next question, the next obvious question, why Jurong? Great. After you plan to plant a church in Jurong, what's the plan? And then, of course, the other obvious question, why should Cathedral be excited about this? But I'll give you a little hint. It has something to do with both Reverend Freddie and myself. Okay, let's go to the first one. Why bother? Why bother even planting churches? Why not just stay where we are? Cathedral has got a prime location. We are beside City Hall, MRT, people bound to pass by. You've got a cafe. So why should we plant churches? We are very comfortable at. Well, the reason is this. Planting churches or birthing churches is not our idea. How do I know? Now, let's talk about why Jesus came. Now, we are looking forward to the second coming, but let's talk about his first coming. Now, most of us, when you ask, what did Jesus come to do? We think immediately of, oh, Jesus came to die for our sins. Well, that's an important part of his ministry, but if that's the only reason why he came to earth, I think that's a very wretched purpose. Jesus didn't just come to die for our sins. He came to reveal the kingdom of God to us. Okay? Part of that process includes dying for our sins. But the main mission is to reveal the kingdom of God to us. Call it kingdom invasion, if you will. So my attitude towards Christianity is we are special forces soldiers infiltrated into enemy territory. That's what Christians are. Right? Now, in the process of revealing the kingdom of God to us, Jesus also sets out to reveal what life in the kingdom is like. Now, as such, life in the kingdom of God involves breaking the power of evil. Now, when you preach the gospel, when you baptize previously non-believers, and they come into the kingdom of God, what you have done is to break the power of evil. Okay? But what's interesting is this. You break the power of evil not through violence. You don't go beat people into submission. Believe in Christianity, believe in Jesus or else. No. You break the power of evil by a gentle and yet determined advance. That's how Jesus did it. That's how he expects us to do it. So what's his chosen instrument? Now, why is it that why is it that God doesn't do it himself? Now, the why, I don't know. The what, I know. The what involves us. God's chosen instruments are Christians. They are people who have decided to lay the world behind them in order to follow Jesus. That those people are his chosen instruments, you and I. Now, let's first look at what the world says. Now, as far as the world is concerned, relax. You only live once. Okay, relax. Or if you're younger, you might say chillax lah. But the idea is the same. Relax, brother, relax. Now, the other reaction, chiong, you only live once. Now, he may well be saying that to me, chiong. But the idea is the same. At the end of the day, whatever you do because it's about me. whether or not you live, whether you relax or you chiong, the issue is you only live once, right? Therefore, make the most out of your life. So it's about me at the end of the day. Now, it's very easy to say, well, just ignore the world, lah. We always sing the song, right? The world behind me, the cross before me, right? Very easy to say, huh? Why is it so tough to ignore the world? The world's voice is often louder. Somebody offends you. Somebody hurts you. The world will tell you, give him a bloody nose. Take revenge on him. Christianity works on reverse psychology. Offer him your other cheek. Maybe the guy will be so freaked out, he'll run away from you. Who knows? The voice of the world is also, unfortunately, more visible. You talk about following an invisible God. It's far easier to be angry with a visible brother. Right? The world's voice, far more visible. Sounds strange. Voice, visible. But it's true. Now, unfortunately for us also, the world's voice is more insistent. Not only is it more insistent, it is more seductive. You talk to serial adulterers. Why is it they keep going back into affairs? The voice of the world, more insistent, more seductive. Why is addiction in any form such a difficult habit to get rid of? Because the voice will often be more insistent and seductive. Students, when you're supposed to study, the voice in your head will go, hey, just watch that final episode of that drama. Play that final round. Play that final game. The voice will be more seductive. Now, if you're somebody in the working world, it's no less difficult. Because the main idea is you fight your way to the top. In and by itself, not that bad yet. But the problem is this, that kind of mindset regards people as things for you to trample on. Best, if you can step on everybody to get to the top and they can't do anything to you, you win. But if you think about it, the end goal really is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we all know who else does that, don't we? Now, you may think that you are trampling on people to get on top of the world, sure. But at the end of the day, you are the target. Satan is using your drive, corrupting it into something else in order to destroy you. You are the target. Not just, you may think of targeting someone else. You may step on other people. The ultimate target is yourself. Okay, now it's no good that if you try and tell people, oh, I'm strong, it's okay. The devil doesn't need to take you on. All he needs to do is to take you away from God. Now, his favorite tactic is to get you to focus on your self-will. He does that, he wins. Now, on the other hand, this, when you contrast the world, what the world says with what Jesus says. What does Jesus say? Now, I need to warn you first. If you want to pay attention to what Jesus says, you have to be prepared to ignore the world's voice. Because the voice of Jesus is counterculture. The world will tell you, you live for yourself, live for your own pleasure. God tells you, come worship me as a body. You have to give up time to come together to worship God, when you could have been doing something else. It's counterculture. Not only is it counterculture, it is counterintuitive. It goes against human instincts. Now, human instincts tell you, accumulate as much wealth as you can. Don't give up anything. God will tell you, give up everything. Give to missions, give to ministry, give to whatever, give to the purposes of God. Now, we think of, okay, sure, you give when you have abundant wealth, lah. And here's where Jesus challenges us again. You think you give out of your abundance? No. You give full stop. Whether you have abundance or not, you give. Now, in case there are some of us who have joined the assembly for the first time and you're of the opinion that the church is only after your money, that's why we keep talking about giving. I want to remind you, before we talk about asking you to give, God Himself already gave. You only return to God 10%. He gave you 100% of His Son. You compare the two. Which weightage is greater? Okay? So, let's come back. Now, whereas the world will tell you it's okay to exploit people, God tells you, Jesus says, lay your life down for others. Now, brothers and sisters, I just ruined your life, okay? I just made your life difficult because now you have to make a choice. Whom do you listen to? People who listen to that voice, this one, are called Christians. Christians are a very weird bunch of people. What is so different about us? You just heard this rap for you. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Rather than exploit people, Jesus lays his life down for them. Which begs the next question, right? What makes us so different? The Christian community stands out from all other communities in that we are the only one that exists for the sake of non-members. So the best way to talk about the Christian community is to contrast us with country clubs. Country clubs have membership. Membership has its privileges, Amex. Membership has its privileges, but country club exists for the satisfaction of its members. The Christian community, on the other hand, exists for people who are not members. That's what makes us so different. So, in bringing you to John chapter 10, verse 16, I want to mention to you very quickly, there are two dimensions to it. One is the personal, which means you can never run away from evangelism. Now, brothers and sisters, listen very carefully. Evangelism is not the responsibility of an elite few. It is not the responsibility of those who wear white. They call me father, but I dress like a mother. What's the irony? Evangelism is everybody's responsibility. And you cannot even say, oh, I'm a new Christian. Cannot. I'm asking you to be an evangelist. I'm not asking you to be a professional theologian. Evangelist means you tell people about Jesus. You tell people why you follow Jesus. That's all that is required. So there's a personal dimension and the corporate dimension for which I am here to today. All right? Now, both personal and corporate lead towards a final outcome, which is to bring in the sheep that are outside. So, my dear friends, you're not here in order to build a wonderful community where everybody's united, everybody loves one another, nobody gets angry. Your task, your God-given task, is to build a community that is always ready and eager and seeking those who are outside. So let's talk about the corporate response. Now, those of you who follow Bishop Guan, you'll be very familiar. You're bound to have heard this at some point or another. What is the purpose of apple trees? Now, those of us who may not be familiar, who are newer, you might think, the purpose of apple trees, hello, produce apples lah. Correct or not? The purpose of apple trees is to produce other apple trees. If I were to extrapolate that further, what is the purpose of churches? Now, I mentioned, right, the personal dimension of John chapter 10, verse 16 is personal evangelism. At a broader church, at a broader level, the church also does evangelism. But our effort of evangelism involves planting new churches. Okay? So this is really an extension, if you think about it, it's an extension of personal evangelism. So what you do as individuals, the church also does as a body. The corporate responsibility. Okay? Now, truth be told, Cathedral has always had a reputation for being generous in giving. Now, this kind of backfires on you on occasions, okay? For this reason, you will always find people who come into random people, not members, randomly show up on your compound asking you for money. I've seen this with my own eyes. three individuals come to cathedral, request to talk to pastor. Then when they talk to pastor, tell the pastor sob story. Very sad story. Hope that the pastor gets that. Okay, I give you money. Now, nothing wrong, huh? Except I saw the same three individuals at another church doing the exact same thing. Now, we have all been very generous in giving. So in spite of the fact that some people exploit your generosity, my prayer for you is you never lose that element of your character. Don't lose that part of your DNA. Okay? Now, I want to push you one step further. Giving, no problem. Okay? Just give. Some of us, you know, regard giving as, you know, getting rid of your loose change. So be it lah. All right? I want to push you this evening to think about beyond giving to planting a church. Let's talk about the daring initiative to plant a church. Now, I am sorry, because of my voice, I can't modulate my tone, so I sound pretty monotonous. Perhaps one day, when my voice is recovered, I'll come back. Right, now, why Jurong? Now, let me tell you, let me assure you, I got no vested interest. I live in Yishun. Let me tell you something else. Murphy's Law is very alive in the diocese. We used to joke. What the diocese does is to find out where the priest live and post him to the furthest church. I live in the north. They post me to a church almost in the south. Now, why Jurong? I want to show you a map. Now, don't worry about the resolution. The point is not the resolution. Now, I want to draw your attention to the fact that all these little crosses, each one of these little crosses represent an Anglican parish. Don't ask me to point out where cathedral is, okay? I know somewhere here. Okay, but every cross represents an Anglican parish. Now, if you look at the concentration and density, most of them are either in the south or the east. Two lonely churches in the north, and they never post me there. What are the odds? Okay, so only two in the north. The rest are concentrated here. Now, as much as I talk about the two lonely churches in the north, there are none in the east, in the west. The last church that was there is St. John's Chapel. Government took back the land in 92, and they shifted to St. Margaret's Secondary School, which is somewhere around here. So no one else left in the west. Now, the other thing about the west is this. That part of Singapore is home to HDB Heartland residents. It is home to two universities, NTU and NUS, which I've already told you what they stand for. It is also home to factories, workers' dormitories, and an estimated 1.3 million people. Now, I got to hand it to my counterpart, Reverend Ang Susang. He did the research. I don't know how he arrived at the figure, but I can believe. 1.3 million estimate. Now, as far as Anglicans are concerned, we are the only people with the resources and organization to move in systematically. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not looking down on the Methodists, or the Presbyterians, or the Lutherans, or everyone else. I'm not waving the Anglican flag here. I happen to believe that if we get to heaven, Anglicans will go first, alphabetical order, that's about it. Does that count? So, but in actual fact, we are the only people with the organizational structure, with the organization and the resources to move in. Now, because we have the organization and the resources, we also have the responsibility. As a very famous character in a very famous movie says, with great power comes great responsibility. Right? You have your resources, you have the responsibility. Okay? So, that's why we hope to establish an Anglican presence in the West. Now, I'm not saying that only Anglicans are this one, Anglican territory, stronghold, the rest of you stay out. No. As much as I want to reach out to the West is far too big for one church alone to handle, or one denomination alone to handle. So in time to come, God willing, we may well partner other people, other denominations to move in. And I think that will present a very beautiful picture of unity in the body of Christ. Okay? So to look closer, this is where we hope. We hope to find ourselves. Jurong West Street 42. Now, those of you who may know where SACS Golden Orchid is, or SACS Cluster Support, these two centres, you put midpoint, that's where we are. very Anglican, via media. Okay, that's where we hope to be. God willing, huh? God willing. Now, the other interesting thing that's happening in the West is this. Those of you who have read the papers last year, to April the 12th, the government talked about developing Tengah Estate. Okay? Now, Tengah Estate will be very interesting because it is one of those areas where all the roads are underground. That means you have no surface roads. Now, this of course makes things a bit safer for people. It also makes it a little bit more beautiful. But of more interest to us, you have another potential residential area in the West. Now, excuse me, where is Tengah Estate? How many of you live in Bukit Batok area? Bukit Batok, Choa Chu Kang area? Anyone? Wow, really? Ah? Okay, thank you. Now, Bukit Batok area, there is this road that borders Bukit Batok called Bukit Batok Road. Okay? Then there is another road leading from KJ called Brickland Road. Now, together these two roads, that's Tengah Estate. Okay? Now, not all of it, lah. Part of it is training area, lah. But the other part is going to be zoned for residential development. Okay? Now, some of you may be familiar with this. Jurong is pipped to be the second CBD in Singapore. Okay? Now, the third CBD is somewhere in the north area, north of Singapore. But for now, Jurong is in the second CBD area. Now, what does this mean for all of us? When you put all these factors together, this is what it means. Increase in human traffic. Now, one of the reasons why Cathedral is strategically located is because you got City Hall MRT next to you. Now, if we position ourselves in a place where human traffic is very, the volume of human traffic is heavy, we increase our chances of being able to bring in sheep who are not of this fold. You see where I'm heading with this one? Sure, you can plant your church in a Ulu Industrial Estate somewhere in Joo Koon, but who goes there? You only goes by word of mouth, lah. You put advertisement also, who will see? Right? So, the idea is to position yourself in a place where human traffic bound to go. Bound to pass. Okay? So, great. We chose Jurong, right, for all those reasons. So, what's the plan? Well, how will we attempt this? This is a concept framework of what our Jurong Church Building Project will want to look like. Okay? So, my dear friends, if I may be so bold, some of you were at the gala dinner about 2 years ago where we talked about the Jurong Church Building Project. Okay, we presented to you architectural plans. Wow, very nice. Huh? Now, here's what I'm going to tell you to do with it. Throw it away. Why? Now, these days, our government will not release land for you to build just one church building and nothing else. So now we got to think about integration. So, we're going to think of a church. Obviously, the church is here. Now, the St. Luke's here is a proposed name, lah. I want it to be called St. Andrew's, lah. But two other churches beat me to it already. So, you know, kind of on the losing end. Got to think of something else. So, I hope we are called St. Luke's Chapel instead of St. Luke's Anglican Church. Slack. Not St. Luke's Anglican Church, all right? So, hopefully St. Luke's. Now, we have the CDC. Okay, this is your CDC. This is your senior care centers. All right, Golden Orchid Cluster Support. This Anglican Care Center is what is used to be known as CRSS, your mental rehab centers. Now, together with this, hopefully we bring everybody under one roof. Now, if we do that, you can no longer think of yourselves as just a church. You're thinking of yourself as a hub. This is big. Now imagine this, initiative and direction comes up from the church outwards. Canon Terry tells me that this is actually a more accurate representation of what a parish is supposed to be. So a parish is not a standalone church building. No. It is a church building with all these things. Okay? Now, the key theme, the theme of this concept is full spectrum ministry. That means you're no longer just aiming towards a target group. You're reaching out as wide as you can. You're crazy, right? Yeah, what? I'm crazy, ma. If I'm not crazy, I won't come and preach to you with a sore throat already, you know. Right? We have to be crazy. I don't remember who it was that said this. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. It's either William Carey or Hudson Taylor. I don't remember which one. William Carey. Okay, William Carey. Okay. Now, you want to see the kingdom of a kingdom of God advance in a grand, in a massive way, you've got to be daring. Does it mean we will succeed? Maybe, maybe not. Now, in Singapore, we are obsessed with succeeding the first time, every time. Can I suggest to you, in the kingdom of God, failures are allowed. The thing that is not allowed is cowardice. You become so scared, you don't do anything. Then you become like the servant with the one talent, buried underground, don't do anything about it. At the end of the day, we answer to God. Not fun. Okay? So, this is full spectrum ministry. I don't know whether, frankly speaking, it is a big project. Archdeacon, Bishop Low, tell me, hey, they are very big. I was very cheeky. I almost wanted to ask him, then you send me there for what? You want me to die? Because between the clergy, we all can joke. Okay? It is big. But by the grace of God, we will do it. With your prayer, we will do it. So, what do we need? Target funds to be raised is $30 million. Now, Bishop gave us the target, $30 million. Now, available funds as at September 30th this year is $7 million, which means our original target was actually met. So, the remaining amount is $23 million. Now, before you start freaking out on me, relax, okay? This $30 million is to be raised over 3 years. That means 1 year you raise $10 million, Which means if you think about it, we already have seven. We only have 3 more million to go before we meet the target for the year. This by next year, we have just to raise 3 more million and then we're okay. After that is the following year, another 10 million. Now, anybody who's been watching the economy, you know, right? Our economic outlook for the next few years, not good. I'm not pretending that these dangers don't happen. I'm not pretending that all this gloom and doom is not there. I'm looking at the gloom and doom, and I'm also looking at the bigger God behind the gloom and doom. I'm saying that in spite of the gloom and doom, the Lord remains faithful. Okay, so, brothers and sisters, as of now, we only have 3 more million to go. Then we hit our 1 year target already. Now, why should a cathedral be excited about this? What has this got to do with you? Good question. Now, let's go back into history. Pentecost Sunday, 1856. Anyone born yet? Now, these people may have long passed away, but as far as I'm concerned, as far as history is concerned, you belong to the same group. There is an unbroken line of history right down to you. So you are bearers of the tradition. Now, in 1856, St. Andrew's Church was just a church for Ang Moors. It was an expatriate church. But in 1856, suddenly the Holy Spirit touched the hearts of the people. And they realized, no, the gospel is not just for the Westerners. It is for the locals. So they started They started actively evangelizing and discipling the local population. And then they started planting a church in Jurong. So you see, I come before you as a living example of history repeating itself. Because in 1856, that's what they did. They planted a church in Jurong. That church became St. John's Chapel in 1884. I blundered into all this. I didn't know this until I was doing research. So, because of 1856, because people of cathedral were daring enough to say, we want to plant a church, we should plant a church, they did. As a result, St. John's Chapel came about. I stand before you, and Reverend Freddie and I both stand before you as living examples and living beneficiaries of that courage. Because you were courageous, the both of us get to stand here. Because of what you did back in 1856, we are here in 2017. Because of your faithfulness, your daring. So I say this, now, somehow or other, I wish I could have conveyed the emotion more. It's a very, very, very emotionally powerful moment for me right now. as I stand before you as a beneficiary of your courage. When you look at me, you see an evidence of what happened here. When you see Reverend Freddie every Saturday, you see an evidence of what happened here. This is because you were courageous enough. Will history repeat itself? Well, it's up to us. But I want to challenge you. Should it be regarded as impossible? Really? Between 1856 to 1884, they had to wait about, I don't know, couple of decades. Do we need to wait as long? Now, I want to share with you, you don't see me often because I'm based in WAC. Now, supposing WAC becomes a parish, you all have a hand in it. It's not just another congregation, okay, Lord, you all go out, Lord. No, members of this congregation have a hand in it. And as far as history is concerned, you ought to be rightly proud of yourselves when that day happens. You see, a birth is not just celebrated by the immediate parents. It is celebrated by the entire community. Supposing today, at some point in the future, my wife gives birth. Obviously, I'll be happy. My wife will be happy, but we are not the only ones, you know. My parents will be happy. Her parents will be happy. Our extended relatives will be happy. The church will be happy. Because a birth is not just a private thing. It is a communal thing. We are all involved. We all join in the celebration. So, my dear friends, I want to ask you what you can do to help us to plant churches, to birth new churches, to help diffuse the light, is to do this. Pray with us. Sure, give to the Jurong Breeding Project. Sure, 30 million target. Give whatever, every cent counts. But what is more important to us is you pray with us. Make us a regular item in your prayer meeting. Every time you meet for corporate prayer, make us an item there. Pray for WAC and JACM. Now, JACM stands for Jurong Anglican Church Mandarin. They are the Mandarin congregation, Mandarin-speaking counterpart of WAC. All right? So pray with us. Pray that our diffusion of light it will be in line with John 10:16. That means our attitude is always thinking about people who are not yet in the kingdom. And you pray with us that this DNA will be part of us long after we become a new parish. Long after the church is born, we continue to hold on to John 10:16. I ask you, please, pray with us along those lines. Okay? Now, I know you're generous. I know you will give. But what I really want is for you to pray with us. Now, if you stand with us in prayer, I'm confident that the concept, the big thing that we're supposed to embark on, we can. With the Lord's help and with the help of brothers and sisters praying together with us. Let's begin now. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us grand visions, big dreams. Lord, we acknowledge all these are from you, but we pray, Lord, that you help us. Because humanly speaking, it is a big project. We cannot do it by ourselves. But if you will go before us, then there is nothing we cannot do. So during this missions month, I ask that your Holy Spirit touch all of our hearts, that now we may be intentional and intensive in diffusing the light. And in the process of trying to diffuse that light, we will also work hard and pray towards planting and birthing new churches. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.